You had mentioned last hour, David, that there were some pretty fascinating stories associated with some of
you
this.
Bet.
You want to relate a few of them to us?
Yeah. Now again, we're talking not now about quantum teleportation. Let's make that clear that my book, Teleportation: The Impossible Leap, is primarily about scientific teleportation. I don't want to, you know, fool people into thinking that it's mostly stories about, you know, the psychic side of it. You know what I'm saying? There is that in there. But we're moving into a different realm now, okay, where we're talking about the paranormal, okay, and this whole other dimension of teleportation. Now, as I say, while I've been researching this book, I've had a lot of people contact me right up to the last few days. In fact, there was a guy, Rick, from New York State, lives in a house in rural New York, and he told me this fascinating story. He said that his house is built, it's basically a triangular shape. The guy that built it, you know, had some concept in mind. He built the house to specific angles and dimensions, and Rick thinks that what's happening there has got something to do with the shape of the house, and he kind of, you know, harks back to the idea of pyramids being able to focus forces and things, and he thinks that something like that is going on with his house. And it sounds innocuous enough. He says that, you know, what's happening, he's noticed in the past few weeks, is that pennies, you know, just single coins, have been appearing in places where, you know, they shouldn't be. You know, like the top of his kitchen counter. And I wrote back, I said, well, you know, maybe somebody just put it there. You know, I mean, that happens, doesn't it? And he said, well, it's only my wife and I live here. I'm not the kind of guy that carries loose change even in my pockets. But, you know, they would get up in the morning and all of a sudden there's a coin where it shouldn't be. You know, it's just never on the floor. It's just in a really prominent place. And he's had this happen about half a dozen different times. And he says, not only that, but the other unusual effects have been happening as well. Over the 10 years they've been there, they've had things hovering over their house, UFOs, for want of a better term.
Hmm.
Seen shafts of orange light emanating from the woods nearby. They've had people appear in the field next to their house and disappear in broad daylight, dressed in the clothing from the 1800s, you know. So as I got more into this, you know, he mentioned the coins to begin with and said, well, do I have any sort of rational, you know, this guy's not a, he's coming with a very rational story. He's very well spoken. He expressed himself well. You know, there's no reason for him to contact me and ask me what's going on. He's not,
right.
He's not trying to make anything out of this. He's obviously got a mystery going on there. And my initial reaction was, well, can we eliminate all the ordinary things, you know, somebody just putting a coin down there? He said, no, it's not going to happen. It's only me and my wife here. We both know that we haven't done this. These coins have just appeared, you know. And so, you know, again, then once we eliminate all the mundane explanations, we start to think in terms of teleportation, you know, of things, you know, appearing and disappearing in ways that are outside of our normal understanding, you know. So that's one interesting story. Another guy called Charles, he believes and he's convinced that he's made contact with what he calls microscopic extraterrestrials, and he's taken photographs and he's got about 25,000 micro photos of these things, and he believes also that teleportation is involved, that these METs, as he calls them, can teleport from one place to another through solid objects and materials in and out of closed containers. And he's been doing some private experiments with that. Now, I have no way of verifying these, but I've just had so many stories from people who have been, you know, expressing themselves in a very genuine way. They're not trying to get exposure on the media. They don't even know I'm going to be talking to you about them. So there's no reason for them to approach me otherwise. So I believe there's something genuine going on there. Whether it's teleportation or not is open to question. But there are these stories out there.
Well, David, let's talk now, if we can, about the possibility of ghosts and other mysteries that may be teleporting into this dimension onto our planet. Isn't that a possibility? Or maybe they're time travelers.
Well, you know, both options and others would be open to ghosts. Now, I have to admit that I'm not very sensitive to paranormal because I think it comes from my skeptical nature, and I think it makes you kind of blind to that aspect of things. You know, you're always looking for rational explanations, and so when something happens that you can't fit into your scheme of things, I think it tends to drop off the radar, and I honestly believe that's the case with me. I tend to, you know, not see things that other people do see. Now, of course, I can't vouch for people that I don't know. If they tell me a story, I just have to take their word for it, but I do know people, and my wife is one, who is far more sensitive to these things than I am. Now, I trust her, obviously, you know, implicitly. And I know that she has had experiences with, well, spirit forms. For one, you know, you can use different words, ghosts, spirit forms.
Sure.
But, you know, she describes one as, you know, her guardian angel that appeared years ago on a number of occasions. Not a hallucination, not a dream. You know, she's fully conscious. And also she has seen and felt the spirit of her deceased father. And I know of other friends and family members who've had similar, very deep experiences. And I'm a real skeptic. I always try to go for the simplest, you know, the most boring explanation possible. When I've eliminated that, I start to move on to the more exotic. That's just the way I work, you know. And I have done that with these people. I've talked to my wife endlessly about these things. I'm absolutely convinced that what she's experienced is not some sort of, it's not just in her mind. It's an external thing. And since I've been writing this book, teleportation, where something, you know, dematerializes in one realm or one place and rematerializes somewhere else, that fits the description. That's what it is. It's teleportation. You know, if you break down that word teleportation, you know, it means long distance carry, basically. Tele is long distance, like television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the portation is Latin for portario, means carry, so long distance carry, and that's what we're seeing. You know, so it covers that whole thing. Incidentally, the word teleportation was coined back in 1931 by Charles Fort, who you'll know from like Fortean phenomena, you know.
Right.
He wrote several books on that. You know, he was a great collector of stories of mysterious comings and goings, you know, frogs and fish that fall from clear blue skies and flows of stones in open fields, all kinds of unusual things. And, you know, some of these maybe, you know, do have an ordinary conventional explanation. Others maybe it's that, you know, we do live in a universe where there are parallel dimensions, and maybe the barrier between one world and the next is thinner in some places than others. So stuff can pass through that membrane or that barrier. And it may be that some people are more sensitive to that passage. So, you know, facilitate, if you like, the transfer. So I really believe there may be something in that we do live in a multiverse, if you like, of parallel worlds where material can slip from one to the other. I'm not saying that's the explanation for all these weird comings and goings. Some could be quite ordinary.